This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Open for Business on BFM 89.9. I'm Christine Wong, and today we have a special show as we're gearing up for our annual retail conference, Enterprise Rocks, happening this year on the 14th of March at Connection at Nexus Bangsar South. Now, our treasure hunt is still going on at bfm.my/x for tickets and extra goodies as well. Now, if you didn't get a chance to attend last year's Rocks, we have three Rocks Rewind recap shows of our panel highlights. And in this first show, Annabelle Kumartanen of Largesseria, Sheikh Manzoor Ghani of SAS Institute, and Ganesh Kumar Banga of Commerce.Asia spoke to Frida Liu all about data analytics. Are they qualitative, quantitative, or both? I'll let Frida take it away.
So we've got three people here who come in with various backgrounds to talk a little bit more about this, but maybe just an overview of what's happening when it comes to data analytics in the ASEAN region in your respective areas. We'll start with you, Shane, right? With SAS, because I know that's the core of your business.
It's interesting development in the last few years, as you know, how businesses have interacted. I think the realization and understanding of what more they can do with the data is becoming more pertinent. Before, it was just a matter of just holding the transactions for purposes of performing reports and management reports and analysis for audit, etc. I think that over the last few years, there has, thanks to what's happening elsewhere around the world, I think Malaysians are realizing now there's a lot more to data and not just being able to just look at it from a reports point of view. And then being able to make use of that data, not just financial data, but also customer-related data, transactional-related data, and try and see, pick up some nuggets of gold in terms of trends of that information that can help them with their strategy and decision-making as they move forward with the organization.
Okay. I want to get Annabelle to share her story. Of course, you know, you started with just an online facility. How has data come into play for you?
Yeah, I just got to promise you guys that data is relevant whether or not you're in corporate. I think these are the corporate guys. I used to be from Microsoft, but now I'm an SME, just like each and every one of you. So data is important because even for SMEs like me, it may not sound sexy because the sexy part of F&B is the store, the people who is coming, who's their customer, what are they buying. But all this is information. And at some point in time, we had to make a tough decision, which is to change our POS system three times. And three times means we spent money three times before we got it right. So the information gives me the opportunity to keep changing our menu. So we started with the juice company. We sold to people. So that was online and I had their data. That's customer data. Now, when we moved into a cafe business, I needed to know, will Malaysians eat salad? And guess what? What is the number one menu on Largesseria Superfood Cafes? It's nasi lemak wrap. I'm sure you're not surprised, right? So as you continue to grow your business, you got to understand your customers. And I'm not Malaysian, but then I did figure out in the end that Malaysians want their nasi lemak. And I just had to make it healthier. And data doesn't lie. You see the thousands versus the 10 people who ordered this type of salad. So you got to know. I can't be emotional. This is my best item, but looks like Malaysians want nasi lemak wrap. And this is what I'm going to give to them.
Okay, when did you decide? Okay, you said the POS system. So when did you decide to, three times, when did you decide to invest in this and make this a clear part? Was this something you thought of from the get-go? I'm just thinking, you know, when I'm starting a retail business, I'm not, you know, that's just not the thing that I would think of, but looking back, should you?
I wish someone like me gave me advice 3 years ago, 4 years ago, but then it came out of need. I think all the SMEs in the room would agree that you won't really think of the far things yet because you're still trying to figure out how can I sell more? How can I be more efficient? How can I reach more customers? But then as the need day-to-day arises, then you start to realize, wouldn't it be great if I had a loyalty program? And so I started with a chop-chop thing, you know, in the card. And then later on, wouldn't it be nicer if I knew who they were and how often they came here? And the only way to know that is through data. So then you start to look for POS suppliers who can do that. And then you start to benchmark against people. So always aim high. And if you are starting whatever your business is, look at who is the best at that field and try to follow that path. If you may not afford it now, you can afford it later. So follow that pattern and then you'll be on your way to success.
Okay, I want to find out three suppliers. Why? What was that?
Okay, I got to have a warning. I said earlier, you got to aim high, right? When you start, aim high, who is the highest up there and follow them. So that's what I did. That's why POS one didn't work. When I started our little juice company, I said, I want to be Starbucks one day. Starbucks, Starbucks. Who is Starbucks POS supplier? Give it to me. And it was an international POS supplier. So we paid. And unfortunately, because it was international, it couldn't do the things that I needed because we were selling a juice cleanse. And a juice cleanse means that there are six juices in a day and that you had to drink different flavors. And that when we have an inventory of it, their POS system couldn't track. So they said, you should look for a POS supplier like a Levi's jeans supplier because it's like it's as if it's clothing and then you're minusing from your stock. Huh? You mean to say I chose the wrong POS supplier? So because of that, I got burned. I went to a local POS supplier. And the local POS supplier's data couldn't be trusted. So unfortunately, I couldn't even trust the end-of-day sales numbers. So that was really bad. So mistake number two. So I learned my lesson. It cannot be international. Maybe it cannot be local. So while I searched for POS number three, I learned and I said, it got to be the most flexible, the most up-to-date in terms of technology, and I got to have a reference. So now I went to search, and guess who? How I found it? I went on my Facebook desperately. Dear friends, I am desperately looking for a third POS supplier. Please help me. And true enough, some of my old Microsoft friends saw it and pointed me to the right person. And they said, this guy has a cloud system, and you should talk to him. So I did talk to him, but before I did, I spoke to many others and I was holding back because I got burned already. And so most of them wanted me to invest another 50,000, another 100,000 to build my own servers and what. I said, oh my God, this is not the right people. So when this guy came, he said, look, all you have to do is pay by subscription. You got one outlet, you pay for one. You've got two, you pay for two. And I have to service you very well every month. If you don't like my service, you turn it off. I've got no more revenue. So it's in my interest to keep you happy and that whatever you request, I can tweak it because mine is in the cloud. Oh, I like that. So despite hearing what I like, now I learned my lesson. Who is your customer? Give me the names. Okay, look, 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 look. Oh, I know this guy. Ring up the guy. Hello, I know I don't usually call you, but can I ask this PO supplier, is he okay? Is he doing what he said? Oh, okay, okay. You said okay? So I went with number three, and until today we're with number three. So a little bit of lessons along the way, and that's why I enjoy coming to speak so that we can share to other F&B players so that you don't make the same mistake that I did, and try. And whoever is your POS supplier today, make sure that they can give you real-time data because data is changing. Unlike many years ago, I think you could have the luxury of 1 month before you look at the data, but now things are just changing too fast. By the time you download your own data at your different offline POS, the world has changed already. So make sure you get something that's on the cloud.
Some great advice from Annabelle on your point of sale decisions. Now it's time for a little break for some tunes, but after that, we'll be hearing more from Frida, Annabelle, Sheik, and Ganesh as they discuss knowing your customer and how to utilize analyzed data. So stay tuned to BFM 89.9 for that.
Bulldozing fine measures. BFM 89.9, the business station.
I'm Christine Wong, and you are tuned in to Open for Business here on Enterprise. Today is the first part of our Enterprise Rocks Rewind for last year's Enterprise Rocks. It's a panel recap, and today we've been listening to Frida Liu discuss with Annabel Komartanen of La Juiceria, Sheikh Mansoor Ghani of SAS Institute, and Ganesh Kumar Banga of Commerce.Asia about data analytics. Before the break, we were listening to Annabel's experience where third time was the charm for her point of sale supplier. So now, what's Frida's next question for the panel?
Okay, I want to just talk a little bit with Ganesh. Knowing your customer, right? And then there's this, when we have a chat, knowing your customer, how this can help increase sales, part of the growth hacking. What is that process like for your SMEs, your mom and pop shop that, I just want to be able to sell more crackers. Sure.
So everything is a funnel.
Okay.
Right? If you look at the top part of the funnel, it's awareness and activation, right down to revenue. Right, so you need to know who your customer is, and you need to know how to convert the customer, giving them what they want, then helps them actually convert that awareness, for example, into a sale, right? And then after that is how you generate referrals, right? How do you generate word of mouth, virality, to get more people to know about it, right? And to actually then help that grow. So I think every business, doesn't matter whether it's an online business or offline business, right? So we talk about growth hacking. Growth hacking is a methodology how you actually grow your online business. But there's also analog growth hacking, which is basically the sales funnel.
Right.
Just like if you're selling, if you hire a salesman, you ask your salesman, you need to go and talk to 100 people. Then of the 100 people, 10 people be interested. Mm. Then you can sign up 5 people. And that 5 people may recommend you another 5 people. Right? And then that actually then grows your funnel. So it's similar, whether it's online or offline, it's actually the same concept. The only difference is when you go online, it's just a lot more easier to track and know your customer.
So the offline strategy remains the same.
Yes.
The tools would have changed.
That's right.
Right. There are enormous sums of data out there, but how do you effectively make sense out of it without necessarily investing in a data analyst?
Well, as an F&B entrepreneur, everyone knows that you try to sell everything. Everything that a Malaysian would like, I'd love to sell it. But then in the kitchen, it will be havoc because you cannot have all the dishes of the world in your kitchen and somebody orders it and you have to churn it out. So at some point in time when we created one outlet, became two, two became three, and three became five, you have to start to cut down what do Malaysians really buy. So because of the need, one, you want to cut costs, two, you want to be efficient and you want to make it fresh and you want to make sure that you maximize the kitchen space.
Okay, so here's another question about how can data analytics streamline with PDPA, your Personal Data Protection Act. No doubt data analytics helps firm growth, but if you use the party data analytics provider, might trigger consumer to not feel comfy, not feel comfortable, I guess. You don't cross that line, do you?
No, I mean, for us, we do send out email marketing once a month. So once a month, I believe, is very okay. Don't spam. And I think for all SMEs in here, I know data sounds like serious, like data analytics, but to be honest, the simplest form of data analytics is out there, which is social media. And social media for me is one way for you to kind of understand your customer. What do they like? What are they looking at? Who are they following? What are they doing? What are they eating? And why are they not eating my food? So this is the simplest form of data. And I believe that today's SME is luckier than those 10 years ago because you had no data at all unless you make your own data. So don't underestimate the data analytics that social media gives you.
A lot of things have been said about PDPA and people tend to get overexcited or whatever it is. At the end of the day, if you're using third-party data provided by third parties, then you have to be careful. But in the case of if you are using your own self-generated data, the way Annabelle is doing, a lot of people who subscribe to the services of the company always have an opt-in or opt-out clauses, right? So the fact that when you're subscribing to anybody's services, when you subscribe to a loyalty program or any services, there's always this checkbox that you have to opt-in or opt-out. Chances are you probably have to say opt-in because you can't. Most of the time you have to opt-in anyway, right? So they have to use your data. So the point I'm trying to say is, Third-party data, I agree. You always have, sometimes you cross the line. But most of the time, you have to use your own self-generated data, and in this case, the loyalty programs, etc., to understand your customer better. So to me, if you're doing data analytics, it's best to use your own self-generated data, because they are using the services that you are providing, eating the food that you are providing. That's a better analysis than having a third-party analyze the market data for you.
Right. I'm just going to go through some of the questions. As a small business owner, how can predictive analytics help my restaurant? I have no time to look at data, and even I have a data management report. I have no extra capacity to act on it fast. So this is, I guess, your small, you know, and you've been there, right? So how did you overcome that kind of...
I think everybody has the same 24 hours in a day, and as long as you're here, you've got a brain, hands, and legs. We all have equal opportunities, and even more if you're Malaysian, you know. So I believe that everyone tries to do many things at the same time, and it's just about what you value. Currently, you don't value the data because it's not giving you something. But because of my need, I needed to look at it. And I looked at it because then when the results came and you know that, hey, my data was accurate, it really brought the changes that I needed to tweak, for example, certain ingredients to take out or things that people don't like. Then you realize that, okay, every now and then I got to force myself to do this and look at the data. So I always get that kind of question, and people ask, how do you find the time in the day? You know, you run it. You know what? We all have equal hours in this lifetime. So it's down to you putting, putting priorities on the data, because it can give you something.
Okay. Shay, I want to ask you this question. Someone here says, can you share a few cases on how businesses have used data to drive their business to greater heights? I guess just, you know, I mean, they could, the big clients have you.
Many, many ways. I mean, I gave the example just now about the telco. I can't name the telco, obviously, for non-confidentiality reasons. But again, it's them being able to understand their customers. Because, you know, as telcos, prepaid customers, you top up whenever you want to use your top up. So they've actually then profiled the type of top ups by different segments of the business users. Then they also then understand the size of the top-ups and the frequency of the top-ups, and then they match the data back to the usage of the network, right? Mm-hmm. So then they were able to understand, they were able to predict when this top-up is going to go down,
right,
to the point where this person needs to top up again. And for them, for a lot of telcos, especially in prepaid business, they lose customers every now and then because anybody can go to anybody else and do a $10 top-up here, $10 top-up there. So for them, it's that sticky factor, right, which is basically, I want you to stick to me. So then they then develop a strategy, then identify if this is someone who is low value, high volume, they have a strategy A. And if someone who's, every time he tops up, is 30 ringgit or 50 ringgit, then they want to be able to offer them more services, the sticky factor. So they came up with strategy things like additional kilobytes of data services. And that really helped them because then they were able to then come up with different types of products to meet the different types of clientele that they have. Because even within the clientele, they had the behavioral pattern. Those days, they used to have the youth age from 20 to 30. Because of that dynamicity of the client, they were able to break it down into 25-30 group to 30, 25-30 group. They were able to strategize and have more penetration, and that could give them more success in that. So that was one telco. Banks use a lot of our data analytical capability to actually help them manage their risk. As you know, banks, a lot of them have issues with non-performing loans, so they want to be able to understand profile of customers who is likely not to repay the loan based on their past payment history, their credit history, and based on the information they get elsewhere. In F&B, again, or even groceries, I gave you the example of Tesco. I can name them because they're a public reference. And similar other organizations that use loyalty card programs, they understand the types of customers. And actually, Tesco in the UK is very, very successful because of that. They were actually able to not only identify who are the type of customers that they buy, when they actually decided to put some of their own in-house brands next to some of the branded items, they had more success in that because they came up with product placement strategies because they knew somebody was buying Cadbury chocolates. They then started to place their own in-house brands next to the Cadbury chocolates. And somehow you start to see Cadbury is at £3, and this one is £2.50. And that created a successful strategy for them because they were able to place their in-house products next to the branded products as well, because they knew the profile of the buyers that helped them with the strategy on product placements, in-store, out-of-store, and stuff like that. So when you have an understanding of that, it helps you with the strategy on how to position.
That was Sheikh discussing how businesses can use data to achieve greater heights. But it's time for another short break. After that, we'll be wrapping up the data analytics panel with questions about relevant data and accurate data platforms on this first of three Rocks Rewind shows. So do stay tuned to BFM 89.9. And don't forget, head on over to bfm.my/x for our ongoing treasure hunt.
Bring forth Moolah, BFM 89.9.
This is Open for Business and the first part of our three-part Rocks Rewind leading up to Enterprise Rocks 2019, happening 14th of March at Connection at Nexus Bangsar South. I'm Christine Wong, and so far we've been listening to Frida Liu lead a conversation about data analytics with Annabelle Komartinen of Logiseria, Sheikh Mansoor Ghani of SAS Institute, and Ganesh Kumar Banga of Commerce.Asia. So what question will our panel answer next?
How does a business identify what data is relevant or irrelevant to them, or all is relevant, and how does one prioritize which is focused? And I think you sort of brought that up, but just your insights into it. Like yours to say, is it then, I come in now, I want to growth hack, or you have to be very clear there first, and then the data will make sense?
Absolutely, because in any business, to survive, it's all about revenue, right? Revenue and cost. So what is it that you want to focus on? Is it revenue or is it cost? Because if you want to focus on cost to maximize your profitability, then you got to look at cost information and identify where you can reduce your cost, whether it's manpower cost or ingredients cost or etc. But if it's about revenue, then you need to identify not just from the products that you sell, also the third dimension, which is mentioned, that the type of customers who buy your products, right? So it's all, at the end of the day, it's about what you want to drive your organization to. If you want to improve the revenue, then you got to look at ways to improve the revenue, which is either increase your price, or have more customers coming to you, increase your services. What is it that you want to do? That's more important, which is the point I said just now, right? You got to have an idea of what you want to drive towards. What are the use statements, business issues that you want to achieve, whether it's improvement in increasing performances, having a service level agreement, having sure that your staff, your waiters have a high level of professionalism in dealing with the client so that you have customer satisfaction. That's a different thing, right? And then you want to be able to have customer feedback information about how I serve you to do that analysis. Then you have your revenue information to understand what types of products are selling. Then you want to look at cost information to see where are my profitabilities, where am I losing my margins from which products, based on ingredients. It all depends. So you need to have an idea, the end game in mind, what exactly you want to achieve. Then you work your way backwards to say, all right, in order for me to achieve that objective, these are the type of information that I want to collect.
Okay. Here's a question from the audience. It says here, between all the data platforms such as Google, Adobe, and Facebook, which is the most accurate platform by far?
Well, for me, I use Google to look at food reviews. I know that, I think food is in everyone's heart. Mm. And before you spend your hard-earned money on a restaurant, what do you do? Either you look at TripAdvisor restaurant review, you look at Google review, you look at your friends, if they even took a photo of it. So I wouldn't say that one place is accurate because these are information given by the public. But then when you see a group, a whole chunk of people talking consistently about one thing, then you tend to believe that, okay, right, that means their rap is very good, I gotta go for that, or I shouldn't go to this place, it's not clean. So I wouldn't say there's one really accurate, but do I check before I go to a restaurant? Yes, I am guilty, and I like to Google up the reviews.
Okay, and this question, I want to turn it around a bit. So data collection is expensive. Where and what is the suggested? I think we talked about as a suggested platform to gain industry data. Is data collection expensive?
If you have the end in mind and you know it can help your business, then you better invest in it.
Is not collection of data more expensive in the long run?
Yes, because when your competitors catch after you, you wouldn't know what to do next, and you wouldn't have that base to be able to kind of launch something new. So you got to always be a step ahead. And to be a step ahead, everybody can do F&B. Everybody can open a cafe, but not everybody can build a brand. So that was the whole point why I invested.
The thinking that data is expensive is actually a perception. In the old days, it may have been, right? Because you didn't have cloud, you didn't have mobile. But today, everybody has a mobile phone, right? It's so easy to subscribe for cloud services, right? And they're generally not that expensive. So, and you need to look at it as an investment, not as an expense. So first of all, it's a perception that it's expensive. But in reality, today, with the new technologies, mobile and cloud, it's not. The second is you can't perceive it as an expense. It's an investment. Because when you have data, your marketing expense actually goes down.
Okay.
And to add to that point, I mean, it's a business strategy. It shouldn't be looked as an expense. It's a business strategy. Again, similarly, why would you want to open up another branch if you see it as an expense, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's all about an ROI. If you see what are the returns am I going to get from this investment, it justifies that. So to me, by having a better data collection strategy that gives me better analytics, if I'm able to have better revenue and improve revenue by X percentage, which covers that over a three-year period, then that justifies that investment that we look at.
Okay. I'm going to end off with this question to everybody, but I'm going to fine-tune it a little bit. It says, when does the SME, that's the one with four words, when does the SME need to rely on data analytics? Do they need it before venturing to the business or when they want to expand the business? I think before venturing to the business is called research. But anyway, I guess when is the time, you know, do you start looking at it before starting the business or... You know?
Well, for us, definitely, if you're an F&B and you have one outlet, then maybe don't overthink this. But the moment you're more than one outlet and you're planning to grow, you know, you always have these positive thoughts, right? I want to become big. So when you're planning to grow, then you need the right investments on the tools. So I believe that, again, as an SME, it's just about how big do you want to be? And when you follow the one who's on the top of your list, what have they done and how can you take the steps to really follow that footstep? And I think the SMEs today, you know, I started 5 years ago, but today you guys are very lucky because the cloud has made so much progress that everything can be subscription method. Unlike before, they wanted me to buy servers and now you don't have to. So I think entrepreneurs today are much, much more luckier and equipped than 5 years ago.
When you buy a house, when do you install plug points? Right? It's the same thing, right? So when you start a business, installing plug points before you actually move into the house, less hassle and cheaper, right? You can install it later, but it just costs a lot more. You go through a lot of hassle. So obviously, it's better to install it before and to have that mindset before you actually start your business.
Yeah, that's a very good analogy. And it's a good analogy. And again, to me, the degree of analytics, you can't say you don't have any analytics at all. To me, if you have ambitions to only have just one shop, that's it, one shop for the rest of my life, you still need to have simple, basic analytics to be able to see, for example, revenue this week compared to last week. Why was revenue down? Basic analytics, yeah. Right, you're talking about. So you got to start with some basic analytics. Then if you start to become ambitious, you want to have second branch and third branch, then you need to be able to scale up and start thinking different dimensions of the analytics. Right? But to me, you got to start with basic analytics. You'll be able to do at least revenue differentiating week on week revenue versus expense and stuff like that.
Right.
Elementary analytics.
I think if you want to do business, there's no running away from data. And I like the plug points. That's always my problem. When we start a new outlet, how many plug points do we need? I always say, spec more than what we need because you never know. Like now, I think we want to put an ice cream machine there. We need another plug point. So think ahead, invest ahead, and always aim high.
And always trust the women. Because yeah. My wife always tells me, I told you so. I told you so.
That's a great note to end on.
Your wife is very happy.
Data analytics, qualitative, quantitative, or both? Definitely both.
And that was our first Rocks Rewind show of three, recapping highlights from last year's Enterprise Rocks panel about data analytics with Frida Liu, Annabelle Kumartanen, Sheikh Manzoor Ghani, and Ganesh Kumar Banga. For a treasure hunt related to this year's Enterprise Rocks, head on over to bfm.my/x. And for more details about the event itself and to buy tickets, you can visit bfm.my/rocks. Now tune in at 10 a.m. next Thursday for the second Rocks Rewind, where Audrey Raj discusses endorsements, KOLs, and celebrities. Do we need them more than ever? With Sarah Lian of Supergood, Manisha J of M Talent, and Jonathan Davies of Get Craft Malaysia. Now, if you've missed any of today's Rocks Rewind, don't panic. You can listen to and download our podcast on our app, available on the Apple App Store and Google Play. You can also hear us on Spotify, and you can also access us on desktop if you head on over to bfm.my/podcasts. I'm Christine Wong. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9 for Tech Talk.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.